What's up and welcome everybody to the Bros and Consoles podcast mini-series Solo Gaming Updates, episode 44 on June 13th, 2021. I am one half of your host, Nathan Choquette, coming to you solo on a Sunday for a little bit of recording here. Late night stuff coming along. But there's some good reasons for these kind of late night recordings going on. One of which being, you know, just being busy during the week, having a lot of new work kind of stuff going on, but also having some family around for some of the weekend time as well. But also, we got a lot of E3 conferences going on, everybody, and it's been pretty crazy. Like I said, since things have been pretty busy with work and everything, haven't had a time to kind of watch everything that's come out so far. I did have alerts on my phone and whatnot to kind of let me know when conferences were happening. We already had the Summer Game Fest kickoff, obviously, that happened earlier in the week. We have had the Xbox and Bethesda E3 showcase now. We've also had the Ubisoft Forward as well as the Square Enix Presents. I have only been able to watch the Summer Games Fest kickoff and the Xbox showcase, but looking forward to watching the Square Enix one pretty soon and finishing up the Ubisoft one as well. I started the Ubisoft one and just realized I have not written anything down for that one there yet, but the one thing I do remember from it so far, Rainbow Six Quarantine, looking pretty sweet. Sorry, they changed the name now. I'm so used to thinking of Quarantine. Rainbow Six Extraction, pretty tight. It's surprising because I have, you know, not a huge interest in Rainbow Six Siege to begin with, but I do like the characters that they kind of created with that universe, and I'm really kind of digging the whole Extraction vibe they got going on. One thing I really want to know, and this is, you know, going a little bit on a tangent here, because one of the main things, as you maybe guessed from the title of the episode, is that we are going to talk Xbox, baby. But going over to that tangent I was just talking about, Rainbow Six Extraction, one of the really interesting things that they mentioned in there is that, similar to the trailer itself, where, I forget her name, because I don't know all the operators, starts with an H, she's an Asian lady. She has been captured, and then a few of the operatives go in to go rescue her. They do manage to get her out, but when they talked about the trailer a little bit with the devs, they were saying that actually, you know, the purpose of that trailer was to show that if you fail an extraction mission, or just, like, you know, a mission into the unknown of these alien endeavors and whatnot, you can actually lose your operatives and all your progress on those operatives, and they become unplayable until you rescue them, essentially, until you extract them from the hive and the danger zone, which I thought is a crazy move. Super cool sounding. Also, super crazy when we're talking about the idea of kind of more like permanent consequences and everything here. Very intrigued to kind of see how this turns out, because usually, like I said, Rainbow Six stuff, not really my bag. I know it's out there for some people who enjoy those things, but the idea of this kind of, I don't know, vibes of things like Left 4 Dead, right? And then kind of going into maybe even getting close to like Back 4 Blood kind of stuff now, which is funny. We've had these types of games kind of die down for a while, and then now they're kind of resurfacing again, these kind of, you know, squad-based co-op shooter type of things where you're going through hordes of enemies. But the idea that, you know, all this is kind of going to be permanently affected by your play styles and playthroughs, pretty interesting. I believe, from what I remember, they did mention that the game is, you know, can either play 1 to 3 players in a mission. So the idea that you could, you know, potentially be playing solo and maybe you lose a character that you really enjoyed, and then all of a sudden you're like, shoot, I gotta go get them back, but I don't want to lose more characters. I got to call in some buddies here. Go and grab a couple best buds. Get on in the game. Get them back. Get your best player back. There you go. All those kinds of cool things. And that kind of idea sounds really intriguing to me. Almost intriguing enough that I considered adding it to my Fantasy Critic League. For those people who are interested in kind of knowing what's going on here, we did have some games that released recently. Michael got he took the lead back, basically, is how it's going there. It was a little bit of a, I don't know, 16, 17 point lead on my end for a little bit. But at the last minute over here, in the last few days, actually, Michael ended up picking up a indie game that was coming out this past week, and he already had, you know, as you guys know, Ratchet & Clank Rift Apart, and I think we all knew that Rift Apart was going to do super well. The indie game pretty surprising that it's actually one of the higher scoring games of this year as well. I think it scored basically the same point value as the Rift Apart game. So pretty crazy. I think, was it Chicory, A Colorful Tale? It looked pretty cool initially, but it's always tough to say how these indie games will kind of get scored and whatnot by outlets and everything. So when I put indie games on my draft, like I usually do, I tend to do it based on my feelings of, you know, hey, I want this game to do well. Therefore, I'm going to put it on there and hope that it does well and get points for me and stuff. I'm obviously not super great at predicting things, and I'm sure Michael would probably say a similar thing for himself as well, but we do get luck on our side sometimes, and so Michael got a good pick inside there, so I'm proud of that dude. But that means now I'm trailing in points, and I need to get some points up again. Eventually, we'll figure some things out over there. We've got some games that are going to be coming out later on this year, and hopefully we'll start to see if things are kind of, you know, evening out a little bit more there, see where the points start to lean. It'll probably be a pretty close race kind of getting up towards the end of the year, so that'll be very exciting. But let's go ahead and get straight into the meat and potatoes of the show. Actually, is meat and potatoes together? Is that a thing there? I'm not quite sure. But either way, we're talking about Xbox, everybody. This is not really a topic that we really go too much into, understandably, because I usually kind of play most of my things on the PlayStation 5 now. Michael tends to play a lot on the Switch and sometimes on the PS4. But in terms of Xbox, sometimes our Xbox Ones just kind of sit and collect dust a little bit, which is kind of sad. I do wish I kind of played more things there, but when I've got so many things to play all at once, I tend to kind of just go with the current gen consoles now. It's hard for me to go back to some of the last gen consoles and, you know, feel those like slow load times compared to like the PS5 and everything. It's a tough kind of choice to make to go backwards a little bit. I know it was similar when I first got the PS4 and was like, man, I really don't want to boot up my PS3 anymore, even though there's all these great games on there that I want to play and didn't get to experience. But it's kind of a similar thing for the PS5. The nice thing is that I can bring PS4 games forward with it, but, you know, when it comes to things like Xbox side of things, I end up kind of just leaving everything behind, which is sad. But going through the conference today, when I got to watch it all, I had that kind of Xbox itch going on, and immediately, unrelated, I went to go get a haircut afterwards. You'll see how this plays into things in just a moment. Went and got a haircut, you know, finished all that stuff up. Then, across from the haircut place, GameStop was over there. So I ended up going over to GameStop just to check out to see if they had any Xbox Series X's on sale. You know, obviously there's been a huge shortage with all the consoles. I'm talking about the current gen, you know, Xbox Series X and S, PS5s as well. But all of those things have been really hard to come by lately, and, you know, no such luck in terms of finding any supply over at the GameStop. Surprisingly, they actually told me the last stock, and maybe that was, you know, just in the person's memory that I talked to, last stock that they remember getting in was Black Friday of last year, so that tells you just how bad the shortage is at this moment. But the idea that a, you know, conference like this, obviously I get excited for conferences in general, but the idea that kind of going through this 90-minute showcase that Xbox and Bethesda had could get me excited enough to be like, hey, I would consider dropping a sick $500 right now on a Xbox Series X if I can get my hands on it. Pretty insane now that I think about it. In a good way, though, in a good way. All good things, Xbox. Man, let's just kind of go through some of the things that they had in this showcase, though, right? And some of the choices in there, I think, are interesting. Some of the choices I didn't see coming totally because, I don't know, things, science had kind of not pointed to these, I guess, things in the past in my mind. But some really cool choices towards the end and some interesting ones kind of somewhere in the middle. We'll kind of break everything down, and I say we as in the royal we, I guess. It's just me here. But I'll kind of break everything down for you guys, just let you kind of know what was going on there, some of the things I'm excited about, and hopefully, if you have some time, you can go and check out the Xbox Bethesda E3 showcase as well. See if you get super pumped, look for Xbox Series X's like I did. First off, we had Starfield, which, man, I was very excited to hear was the first thing coming up there. Had Todd Howard out there on the stage looking all fancy in his jeans and t-shirt and stuff, looking like Todd Howard usually does, just killing it out there. You know, he went out there, talked about you know, bringing up Starfield and everything. confirming it is an Xbox console exclusive, not coming to the PlayStation 5. Definitely got that point for myself on our predictions there. But in a weird twist of fate here, I think the wording I might have used in those predictions was deep dive. And I guess maybe I'll have to talk with Michael about this, see what he thinks, because obviously we know that, you know, we talked about the timeline being for at least kind of the length of Summer Game Fest and stuff. So it didn't have to only be at, I think, the one showcase type of thing. I think those were the rules we had out there. If that being the case, if we do get some more information about Starfield later, this type of thing may be easier to classify in the prediction. But me saying deep dive in the wording makes it seem like I probably shouldn't get like a full point there for that type of thing. Unfortunately, we only got a teaser of Starfield here, which I was a little shocked at. I was kind of thinking that we were going to have a kind of bigger chunk of things to see from this game so far. And very surprising there, we got, you know, a small teaser, which is pretty cool. I like the cinematic kind of thing of it. Don't really know much of what's going on in this thing so far other than space exploration, right? You were part of some kind of, I wouldn't say corporation, but some kind of group, basically, that's going to go explore the stars and whatnot. And you're kind of counting down to lift off from, it looks like, the moon or something. And during that time there, you know, you see some numbers flash on the console in your spaceship. And the numbers were, you know, the release date of this game, supposedly, November 11th, 2022. So, got that part of the, what did I call them last time? The modifiers? There we go. Modifiers, right. But very surprised that, you know, we're getting a teaser of this and we are over like a, maybe not over, we're just under a year and a half out from the release of this game. Possible release. These things can always get pushed, of course, as well. Kind of also made me think, man, Bethesda really likes these November release dates. That's kind of their thing for some of these big titles all the time. I think, what, we had Skyrim being 11/11/2010 or something like that, maybe? I forget when that was. Was that? No. It would have been 2011. So was it really all 11s there? Maybe 11/1/11, something like that. There was a lot of ones in there. Because Skyrim's turning 10 years old this year, and pretty crazy to think about that as well. But the thing we did find out, like I said, about the exclusivity on Xbox, also coming to Game Pass on release, that was kind of one of the big, you know, things in this show, is a whole lot of these games that are being talked about coming to Game Pass when they first release, which is pretty crazy to think about. They originally went into the conference saying there was going to be about 30 games they talked about, and 27 of those are going to be coming to Game Pass. And you can kind of really see where Xbox is now taking their, I guess their plans going into the future and everything, kind of which way they're steering things. And the ship that they're steering is looking mighty fine, I'm telling you that. The idea of Game Pass having all these crazy titles on there is, man, very, very enticing for people who, you know, are looking to play lots of games and maybe kind of do that on a budget and everything. Like, the idea of being able to just pay a monthly subscription fee. Maybe you don't really care about cable, and maybe you don't really watch as much Netflix as you think would be good for using the service all the time and stuff, right? Maybe you don't care about Disney Plus or Hulu and things like that, and maybe you just want to play video games. If you do, then Xbox Game Pass has got you covered, because you have so many things coming basically each month. And I'm not trying to sell this to anybody, but the idea that this thing exists in this day and age is just wild. It kind of blows my mind sometimes. After Starfield's teaser there, we had Stalker 2 come up, which, you know, is subtitled Heart of Chernobyl. It's coming to Xbox as a console launch exclusive. That's happening on April 28th of 2022. Also coming to Game Pass. Pretty crazy. I think at this point, I'm going to tell you when things aren't coming to Game Pass, because that'll be easier than trying to tell you when they are, because, you know, basically everything here is coming to Game Pass. After that, because Stalker 2 had a really cool vibe of almost being like kind of Metro, and what else? It was like a survival kind of Metro type of thing. And when I say Metro, I mean like Metro 2033 or Last Light, even the more recent game. What was that? I wanted to say Extinction, but that's not it. I'll come back to it later. Exodus, there we go. All the Metro games really give off this cool kind of surviving, anomaly type of vibe going on, and that's kind of really what this game was looking like as well. Also happening in Russia, apparently. apparently all of these kind of post-apocalyptic things happen in Russia, and pretty interesting things going on there. I saw him throwing these weird like tubes into kind of the, you know, area in front of him, and didn't quite know what that was all about because he also had a Geiger counter out. And as he's walking through this kind of wasted area, then he, you know, I think eventually he threw a tube and it hit one of these anomalies, which, you know, made the kind of air like ripple around and stuff. And it was pretty wild looking in general. Another weird thing I noticed with that trailer was, you know, obviously it's a trailer meant to be like, you know, showy and flashy and stuff. Maybe it's just kind of having been watching different types of trailers for a long time, but now I'm starting to see weird little hiccups in trailers and I'm like, huh, this is a weird kind of choice. Maybe I've just been, you know, seeing too many of these things over the years and stuff, and that's why I'm kind of noticing these small tidbits. The character was kind of shooting very wildly. He wasn't, you know, really aiming too many of his shots. He was just kind of shooting all over the place, bullet spraying enemies. And the enemies were firing, but clearly not hitting your dude at all, or the guy in the trailer and whatnot. So that was a little bit disappointing. Kind of made the thing feel not quite as intense, I guess. It just kind of made it look like, you know, you're just walking around shooting dudes, not even aiming really at most of the people, and then just kind of, you know, going through the anomalies with all the creepy creatures and whatnot. But speaking of creepy creatures, the next one that got shown was Back 4 Blood, coming out, obviously, like we already knew, October 12th. That one is looking better and better, I gotta say, in terms of kind of the hype for this game. I'm getting a little bit more excited as it comes around. And, no, I'm just going to say it now, because I earlier said I wasn't going to say it. This is coming to Game Pass as well, which is pretty crazy. I didn't really know if I'd be kind of playing this game, but the fact that it's coming to Game Pass now, I think I'll probably end up picking it up. And honestly, I think this is going to be a really good fit for this game, because this game, you know, is meant to be played with other people, and if you're getting it out to all the people who have Game Pass and they can all be playing together as well, I assume there's kind of an online version of like co-op and stuff that's going to be pretty heavily used for this, and that's pretty tight. I can't believe that this type of thing is coming to Game Pass as well, which is pretty interesting and crazy to see. Then we had Contraband, which was an exclusive that I think is recently announced, coming as a co-op open world game. Really don't have any other information on it other than that, because it was a really short teaser kind of thing. And when it was first showing the word Contraband, I was like, oh, maybe this is like a new studio or something, but then it kind of froze on it for a while and eventually faded to, say that, you know, coming to Game Pass when it releases. And I'm like, oh, okay, that was the name of the game. Didn't realize that. After that, though, we had some Sea of Thieves. This one, pretty cool surprise, tying in with Disney, and Jack Sparrow is apparently coming to the game in kind of some new single player, or maybe, you know, multiplayer as well, but some kind of new story wrapped around Sea of Thieves. That's coming out this year, actually very soon, the 22nd of this month. Yakuza Like a Dragon was announced for the Game Pass. That's a weird sentence there. But it announced today and also available today. So basically all of the Yakuza games now are available on Game Pass. Maybe except for Judgment. I'm not sure if Judgment's available on there or not. But that one's kind of a side series, not really tied in with the Yakuza thing as much itself, but that's okay. Then got another look at Battlefield 2042. Obviously, we already got the announcement for that coming October 22nd. So got to see a little bit more gameplay in this one. And I got to say, actually, the cinematic trailer that we saw from Battlefield and EA, earlier in the week was pretty interesting, but it was a lot of cinematics and, you know, that kind of brings things down a little bit. Getting to see actual kind of gameplay of the big scale battles going on in Battlefield 2042 was way more interesting and cool than the cinematic trailer. And I think that one is the one I was like, dang, dude, they got a lot of really cool things going on in this game right now, and I'm very excited to play it now. Previously, I was just kind of lukewarm on it. Now I'm getting pretty excited. Then, one of the big surprises I mentioned before, 12 Minutes got its own stage light over here, coming out as a console launch exclusive as well. That's an interesting one, because I was thinking originally that 12 Minutes wasn't going to be coming anywhere else besides maybe PC and stuff. And knowing that it's just a console launch exclusive made it kind of you know, good to know that it's coming to the PlayStation side eventually, but who knows when that's going to be at this point. Also got a release date, which was a little bit sooner than I imagined. Previously, when they had shown that in the, you know, the last showcase that Xbox had, they didn't show any dates at all. And I was like, man, this is not seeming to be good for kind of coming out this year, which is, I think, one of the reasons why originally I had put it as a counterpick. Now, a little bit more worried about this counterpick, because originally, if it wasn't going to come out, at least I wouldn't lose points, right? 12 Minutes seems like it's got the potential to be a pretty cool indie experience. And, you know, now that it's got actors like Willem Dafoe in there and stuff, I imagine they're putting a lot of work behind this thing. So I'm probably going to lose some points there. Let's be honest with everybody at this point. Other than that, though, you know, coming out August 19th, then we had Psychonauts 2, which is coming out in August as well. The months are really starting to fill up in terms of kind of releases and everything. And it's pretty surprising that Psychonauts 2 is getting a release date that's semi-soon as well. I don't know. Psychonauts is probably something that has kind of passed me by. It's not something I am super into or like a hardcore fan of. I'm not even sure if you'd call Psychonauts a kind of cult following or whatnot. Not in the, you know, negative sense of the word cult for people unfamiliar with that kind of like phrasing and stuff, but you know, having a fan base that is very passionate about it but not a huge like majority of like people that play video games and stuff, I'd say. And I was really surprised to see that Psychonauts 1 had scored so highly on you know, Metacritic and OpenCritic back when it was originally released a long time ago. And that made me a little worried as well, because I think Michael grabbed Psychonauts 2, and previously, you know, like I kind of mentioned, I tend to grab games that I'm interested in as well as like things that I, you know, am not sure about, like if they're going to do well or not, but I want them to do well. And so I grab them anyways to see that hopefully, you know, hopefully the tastes that I have are kind of shared by people playing these games and stuff. Obviously, I don't know if these games are going to do well or not, but that's kind of my hope when I grab these things. And I think Michael grabbed Psychonauts 2 maybe like a few weeks ago now at this point. And now that I'm seeing the fact that it does seem like it's coming out this year, as well as realizing Psychonauts 1 had done pretty well when it was reviewed previously, I'm a little bit like, man, this could be another sudden like hit and stuff to those points and everything. So we'll see what happens there. Got an interesting little tidbit from Bethesda at this point. They said that Doom Eternal's next-gen upgrade is coming on June 29th, which is exciting. I do want to... I don't know if that confirms it's going to be on PS5 at that point as well, but I assume it probably will be, just because they mentioned that, you know, Doom Eternal was going to get a next-gen free upgrade eventually. Didn't really give a time period at that point, but now that we know it is basically a couple weeks away, that's pretty exciting. Hopefully I can kind of get back into that game to actually finish it and everything, and figure out a little bit more of the like puzzle aspects of that entire kind of operation going on, because I was running out of bullets left and right in that game, and I'm usually not that bad of a shot, which is, you know, a little bit of a weird feeling for these types of things. Then going in from there, you know, they briefly mentioned Skyrim's 10th anniversary is coming along pretty soon. Didn't really have anything else to say about it, which I was, you know, a little shocked at. They pretty much put Skyrim on everything nowadays, and you know, I was maybe thinking like, hey, maybe they're going to throw this onto, you know, current gen and everything, right? PS5 and Xbox Series consoles. But yeah, nothing there. They're just like, hey, if you want to, it's the 10th anniversary, if you want to share your memories, you know, tweet with the hashtag, whatever, whatever. And I was like, all right, whatever, man, that's weird. Then they talked about Fallout 76 getting a couple new expansions and everything. They had Steel Rain, which looked pretty cool. I'm talking about more about the Steel, is that what it's called? Steel Brotherhood? I forget what it's called there. I'm not a huge Fallout person all the time. Brotherhood of Steel, there we go. Just mixed up the words. But yeah, they talked about that a little bit. There's some kind of weird factions going on within the Brotherhood of Steel. Seemed pretty interesting in terms of the story and everything. They also talked about Fallout 76 Expeditions, The Pit, which that one, it was kind of more of a tease. Didn't really see too much about it. But man, for people who enjoy Fallout 76 right now, you got a lot of things coming, and I'm very happy for you. Mentioned Elder Scrolls Online Blackwood and Deadlands, which is one that I hadn't heard yet. I'd heard of Blackwood because that, I think, recently came out. But Deadlands is apparently going to be coming out in the fall of this year. And then kind of a goofy game that got shown off, Party Animals, which is going to be a console launch exclusive for Xbox, coming to Game Pass as well, surprisingly. And then that one is coming out in 2022. Kind of reminded me a little bit of maybe like Fall Guys meets Gang Beasts a little bit. That kind of weird, you know, ragdoll physics kind of characters, all really like cute looking animals and things, or things dressed up as animals. And, you know, just the idea that this kind of this weird multiplayer battle arena type of thing in like a silly ragdoll kind of style was intriguing, to say the least, right? Then a really big one, Hades, coming to Game Pass on the 13th of August. That assumedly also means going to be coming to PS, I don't know if you'd say PS5, but PS4 probably, around that time, hopefully as well. That's very exciting. I would like to go ahead and play through Hades this time a little bit more with, you know, trophies or achievements to kind of have that little bit of extra push to keep going. I think I've realized more recently that roguelikes are really not huge on my kind of agenda list in terms of when I'm playing video games. Maybe it's just the idea of kind of losing progress constantly and kind of having to go through everything again. But I don't know. I think it's just part of me, I'm just like, eh, that's really not my bag. I don't really want to mess with that all the time. Kind of a little bit different with Returnal, surprisingly. But even that one, honestly, I haven't been back to for at least probably like a month or so. So maybe it is kind of falling into that category of like, eh, I've lost interest after a while. Then we had a interesting one, Somerville, which looked pretty cool. That one had some really cool, creepy kind of vibes from what I remember. Also going to be a launch exclusive, but coming out in 2022. So hopefully we'll find out a little bit more about that later on. Then one of the big ones that we'd been waiting for, Halo Infinite, obviously an exclusive, coming still not a known date, still labeled as Holiday 2021. I was a bit surprised by this. And honestly, I haven't checked to see what other people have thought about it yet. I have to imagine a lot of people are still maybe concerned that there's no release date, or just surprised that they have not set a release date at this point. I think it's been set as Holiday 2021 for the past, man, probably for, I want to say since the last time Xbox had a big conference and stuff, at least like half a year in my mind. I might be a bit off there or something, but it feels like it's been forever since we've like heard that it's going to be Holiday 2021. And the idea that the holidays are coming up, you know, they're not slowing down. We are slowly inching forward every single day and still don't have a full release date for this. Tells me that either, you know, they're unsure if it's really going to hit a specific date at this moment, or that, you know, they have a bigger release or, a bigger kind of, plan for this whole kind of build up to Halo Infinite, maybe similar to a, like, you know, Sony State of Play type of deal, but kind of really giving it its own spotlight and everything later on down the line. Maybe that's kind of the plan right now, or maybe they're just kind of staying quiet because, you know, Xbox Series X and S are hard to find out there, and the idea that you can't really, you know, play this game to maybe its full potential on the new consoles and stuff for a large audience is maybe kind of, you know, scaring them off a little bit. Maybe they're making them a little bit, you know, cold feet and whatnot. But along with that, though, came the Halo Infinite multiplayer experience that we got to see. And very surprising, but cool to see, it's going to be free to play. You know, it's supposedly going to launch alongside the main campaign and everything. But, you know, this will be free to play. And that is a pretty bold and awesome move to see. Honestly, I think I've heard kind of recently people talk about the idea of being in this kind of new world with multiplayer games and, you know, so many successful games like Fortnite and Call of Duty Warzone all being free to play and stuff is a huge thing. It was, you know, something I hadn't thought about till recently that, hey, you know, within this kind of new space of all these free to play multiplayer games being super popular, it's tough to kind of justify having a, you know, $60, $70 game, have a multiplayer kind of thing in there, and it still be as big as some of these free-to-play ones, because you're kind of, you know, barring it behind this price tag for people who are maybe, you know, have not as many funds as other people and everything. But if that's the case and this is going to be free-to-play, that's a big move, and that's, you know, I really respect that. I think they've made a lot of, you know, people probably pretty happy with that kind of announcement, and definitely will be checking out the multiplayer with it being free to play, because that means you're going to get a whole lot of people jumping into this thing, get a lot of competition going on in there, and hopefully that means I can kind of get some of my Halo multiplayer chops back a little bit, because honestly, it's been years and years since I played multiplayer kind of stuff. I played a little bit of Halo 5 Guardians multiplayer and was kind of getting a little bit back into the groove there, but I'm also joining the game super late because that was, I think, sometime last year or the year before that, and that was, you know, multiple years since the game has come out. So only like people who are still really into Halo or are probably pretty good at the multiplayer are still playing that thing. So it would be nice to kind of learn alongside everybody else, you know, be on a little bit more even playing field. So I think that'll be a pretty cool thing when it does come out eventually. But when that's coming out, only Xbox knows, you know what I'm saying? Then we had Diablo 2 Resurrected shown off. You know, I think we've known that the release date for that is going to be September 23rd for a little bit. But pretty cool to see that it's on a main kind of showcase floor and everything there, so to speak. The next one was a bit weird because on the one hand, I was shocked to see this getting a sequel. Also, really excited to get it, seeing it getting a sequel. And I really would have dug the trailer a lot more if there hadn't been some kind of weird technical things going on. And I'm not sure if that was just a, you know, issue with where I was watching the conference itself. I was watching it via the GameSpot, almost at GameStop, GameSpot YouTube video and whatnot. And obviously at the time I was watching it when it wasn't live, I was watching kind of a replay and everything. But at this point in the, you know, video and stuff, things were kind of starting to cut out sound-wise, and I was like, oh man, I really hope that this is not going to just be the rest of the, you know, video that I'm watching. And it seemed like it was really just during that trailer, and I think one other time later on in the conference, but surprising, like, you know, I paused it, kind of reloaded things and stuff, and it was still like that, so it may have just been a weird thing on their side, maybe. I'll have to try and look around to see if that happened to kind of everybody or not. And if it did, that kind of, you know, is a real bummer, because this one seems like it would have had a really cool effect if you had been able to kind of watch the thing without these weird technical glitches. But hopefully people still got excited, because I got excited for, I don't think I said the name yet. It's it's the sequel to A Plague Tale, and it's called A Plague Tale Requiem, coming out 2022, also coming to Game Pass. Very, very cool. Now, we got another look at Far Cry 6, kind of a similar trailer to what we've seen before, just with a little bit of extra stuff from the main bad guy seemingly talking to the main, like, you know, guerrilla mentor that you kind of train under and everything. And that one, Far Cry 6, is one of the ones that's not coming to Game Pass. You know, unsurprisingly, it's a Ubisoft original and everything there, but I think just kind of getting this in front of a, you know, audience on a big stage kind of thing was important for Xbox, and I could see why they would want to, you know, try and tie this with them as well. I don't foresee PlayStation really kind of throwing Far Cry 6 into one of their things, because their state of plays have kind of been more like Sony inclusive lately, or ones that are kind of willing to partner with Sony. So it'll be interesting if this is kind of one of those things where people start to think of some of these third-party games as being more associated with Xbox than PlayStation. So it'll be interesting to kind of see how this kind of pans out for them and everything. But pretty cool. Pretty cool overall. There were some cool things in that Far Cry 6 trailer that deviated from what we've already seen. And I think some of those things made things a little bit more interesting and cool for me. One of the ones I remember right now was pulling a lever on your car and it kind of starting to fly up into the air. It got some kind of weird sail on it, and that was pretty cool. Then we had a surprise console launch exclusive over here coming in 2022, Slime Rancher 2. I had no idea that this did well enough to get a sequel and whatnot, but here we are. Then we also had Shredders show up. That's going to be a console launch exclusive as well, coming sometime in December of this year. It looks basically like a SSX game kind of thing, just, you know, snowboarding, ripping it up on the mountaintops and whatnot. And I was, you know, vaguely interested in this. I don't know if I'll really play it, I don't really know if I'll buy it, but it's coming to Game Pass, so that means I'll probably end up playing it when December comes around. Atomic Heart, also coming to Game Pass, no date shown off, and for people who are unaware, I think I talked about Atomic Heart a long while ago on the, what we used to call the NIC, the Indie Corner. And Atomic Heart, I believe, is being developed by a studio called Mundfish. It is basically kind of a Bioshock-esque type of game where it's single player. You have kind of these abilities, which are, you know, and abilities you use with your left hand, which is, you know, makes it seem very BioShock, but they kind of are like technology based, it looks like. And then you have kind of guns and weapons in your right hand. And it seems like the main thing is you're kind of making your way through this post-apocalyptic world. I think I can get, if words getting hard. I believe it is kind of set in Russia as well. And it seems like there's kind of some weird, sinister things going on, because there's kind of all these robot enemies. You're fighting your way through things. And then, you know, there are some things that seemingly talk to you, if I remember right. Very kind of interesting and mysterious kind of vibe coming from that, but I really dug it. So I'm excited to see more about that later on. We just don't have a full or even like a window date for that kind of thing yet. And if you can believe it, we are getting close to the end, I think, of the things that was talked about during this conference. Quite a lot of stuff that was shown here, I gotta say. I think that one, Atomic Heart, was number 22 out of their list of, they said that 30 was coming. Then we got a little bit about a game called Replaced. At the moment, I can't remember exactly what this one was looking like. I want to say that I think it had this really cool looking kind of like 2D retro type of vibe. I think if I'm remembering things correctly, which I might be, but I might have to correct myself later. I think this is the game that had a really cool 2D kind of retro vibe. In the background, lots of cool like parallaxing effects of different, you know, objects in space and whatnot. But you're basically kind of making your way through this kind of seemingly haunted forest kind of area, as well as kind of fighting off enemies. And the combat system, I think, in here looked pretty cool. If I am completely off base, though, you can always correct me at brosandconsoles@gmail.com. I appreciate the help, because it is late, I am tired, and I'm probably forgetting things at this point. It's been about several hours since I watched the showcase, so I really gotta, you know, probably record these things right after I watch them, so I have the freshest memory possible, but it's okay, everybody. They mentioned that, you know, Grounded was getting an update called the Shroom and Doom update that is coming out on, June 30th. We also had a kind of update from Among Us is getting a console update. You're going to have way more players than I think you have currently. I want to say I think the current is, what, like 8 players or 9 players? And it is going up all the way to, I believe, 15. And there's going to be 3 imposters instead of just 2. So pretty cool kind of thing going on there. I like that they're kind of finding ways to change this game up and whatnot. And I think it'd be interesting to add more players like that, because it makes you, you know, really have to, like, you know, be a good sleuth to try and figure things out. Because it's hard enough to manage, like, you know, 7 or 8 other players besides yourself. Trying to think of managing, like, 14 other players besides yourself and not being able to trust 3 of them there, it makes people, I think, real suspicious, right? Very sus, as they might say. Also coming to Game Pass there, the Among Us game. Now, the ones that I was surprised to see here, they showed Eiyuden Chronicle 100 Heroes. That is coming in 2023. This is, I think, the farthest thing out that Xbox has talked about so far. Very surprising to see that they had a game with a 2023 date. That's 2 years from now. And we don't even know if that's going to actually hit or not. We have no idea what's going to happen in the next couple years. Along with that one, though, because Eiyuden Chronicle, I should say, 100 Heroes, right? That one looks very cool. It's got a really cool retro kind of art style. But the battle systems in there are really intriguing me, because they kind of go through, like, multiple, like, what would you call that? Like, what would a photographer call that? Like, depth of focuses, kind of. It's kind of your character's, like, way far out away from the monster who's, like, further in front of you. And then maybe you throw, like, a spear or something like that. I'm just making something up. You throw, like, a spear, and you see the spear kind of fly towards it and stuff, and it keeps changing that depth of focus. And that kind of thing is really interesting to me in terms of just kind of, like, an art aspect. It reminds me a little bit of kind of an HD 2D kind of vibe, but a little bit more indie-looking, I guess you could say. The surprise thing here, though, is that, you know, after we got the 2023 date, we also got the fact that Eiyuden Chronicle Rising is another game that's being announced. That one and 100 Heroes both come into Game Pass. Very cool. The Rising game coming in 2022, so a year before 100 Heroes. A little bit shocked that there are kind of 2 of these Eiyuden Chronicle games going on at once. But maybe we'll find out more about those in the future. The Rising game specifically looked more like a 2D action kind of game. So that one I'm not as excited about in relation to kind of 100 Heroes itself, but we'll kind of see once we get more information about that in the end as well. Then they showed The Ascent, which is a game that we've seen before. We know that it's coming in July 29th of this year. Also coming to Game Pass. Age of Empires 4, which was an interesting one to kind of throw in here, because majority of this conference has been kind of like, you know, Xbox launch exclusive or like console exclusive, things like that, right? And Age of Empires 4 showed up, coming out on October 28th. But this was the only one, I think, that I remember them saying that it was an exclusive, but it showed like exclusively on PC Game Pass, which isn't something that's always talked about real often, but it makes sense for this type of game, I suppose, being this, you know, strategy kind of gameplay and whatnot, more of like a real-time strategy than any other type of game that's been shown on here. But, you know, it's still weird to see all of a sudden when we're talking about Xbox and then you're like, oh, Game Pass on PC. Huh, strange. But, you know, I get that there's kind of different audiences for these types of strategy games. Now, the next one, surprisingly, which I didn't expect to, you know, enjoy this much. This one was my favorite trailer of the entire conference, I think. Right behind, I think, the last game that they showed. But this one struck a really nice chord because it had like a cool, it had a really cool vibe, but also a really funny like narration going on. The game that was shown was The Outer Worlds 2. And, you know, it's talked about as being a console launch exclusive as well. Had no date shown at all. But the trailer was hilarious, honestly. Watching this thing go, it starts off in a, you know, some kind of like fantasy field or something like that. I was thinking, I was like, oh, we're going to get some Fable news over here. And this narrator starts in like, you know, you're watching a field and it's so peaceful looking. But then something evil pops in, and I'm paraphrasing here, but as he was talking, I wasn't really like focusing too much on what he was saying at first, and then I realized he's being very like literal about the things he's talking about, and he's like, but then something evil needs to pop in this area and disturb the peace, and will you ever see this monster in the game? And that's where I was like, what's going on here? What, they're talking like breaking the fourth wall and everything. What's happening in this trailer? So I started to pay more attention at this point, and the trailer just kept getting better and better, and I was very surprised by this. I actually, at the end of this trailer, I went back to watch it again immediately. I just kind of paused, rewound a little bit, and then watched it again, and I was still laughing like throughout the entire thing. It was an amazing trailer, and the idea that it's so like self-aware of kind of what's going on here, talking about how like, you know... was, I think, after the weird, you know, creature that kind of shows up and it's all bad and stuff. He said, then you jump to slow-mo for no reason. I'm just like, what is happening in this trailer? And you see, like, this dude running and stuff. He's got these jet boots looking thing, or, you know, thrusters on his boots to make him jump up in the air. He's kind of shooting things in slow motion. It's very epic looking. Then you get to this, like, shot of a alien planet, and it talks about how, like... What did they say? There's that, like, you know, common noise, almost like the Inception noise, like the bwom. He actually, like, verbally called it the bwah noise and then said that, you know, there needs to be lens flares on this, like, epic planet scene. And then you start to see these lens flares popping up on these crystals and stuff. And I'm just like, man, they really nailed whatever's going on in this trailer. And then when we got to the very end, it's The Outer Worlds 2. I was like, you know, bravo. Bravo, Obsidian over there. Making great trailers, and hopefully, you know, you will have all the time you need for this game, because no date was shown at all, but very, very excited to know that The Outer Worlds is getting a sequel. Almost got so choked up there. the last one's here now. Microsoft Flight Simulator was shown. We now have a release date for that, so that is coming out on July 27th. I think we also got news of an expansion that's coming in the fall, which was related to the new Top Gun movie that's coming out, which is pretty cool to see. I think, as far as things go, like, Flight Simulator is not my bag, but the idea that, you know, people that enjoy that stuff are gonna now have this tie-in to Top Gun, flying as Maverick and everything, pretty cool, I think. That's a pretty cool little tidbit. Then we had Verizon, I tried to merge everything together. We had Forza Horizon 5, which was announced. Hats off to Blessing Adeoye Jr., who nailed the idea of this game being set in the Americas this time around. I think at this point, too, when people are like, man, we want a Forza game in Japan and stuff, I don't think that you actually do. I think people that think they want one in Japan are only thinking of stuff like Tokyo Drift. And that's just not realistic, guys. It's not a real thing. Japan does not have a huge, like, you know, car system going on over there. They're not huge on these, like, you know, this car life and whatnot, right? It's very different over there. Public transportation is really the way to go in Japan. So asking for a Forza game to happen in Japan, very unlikely at this point, I think. But yeah, this game's going to be taking place in not New Mexico. It's going to be taking place in Mexico, coming out on November 9th, which is cool. Then this is kind of where we had like a weird turn. We're getting to the end of things, right? Because by my count, that was 30 games that had been announced at that point. Phil Spencer came out, Big Daddy Phil, and he let us know that, you know, we got a whole lot of games that are coming to Game Pass. Surprisingly, though, there were a bunch of games on this screen, and I did have to pause at this point because I noticed that there were some things on here that we hadn't talked about in the conference. And I think the first thing that originally, you know, threw me off was that not all of these things had been shown in the conference, one. Also, though, these things were out of order and kind of, you know, nicely organized in terms of, like, the dates that they're coming out and whatnot at this point. But there were some ones in here that they did show up with dates that I don't think we had previously heard. We had Origami 2 that was up there that's coming in September on the 17th. We had Sable, which is coming on the 23rd of September. A game called Scorn coming in the fall this year. Hello Neighbor 2, which is just labeled as 2021 at this point, along with The Gunk, same year as well. And then while Phil was talking, he did mention the games Avowed, Fable, Elder Scrolls 6, Wolfenstein, Motorsport, a whole bunch of different things that hadn't been shown off at all in this conference, but are things that the Xbox studios, you know, family and everything is working on. And when he mentioned Elder Scrolls 6, I know we already had, you know, Starfield and everything confirmed as a launch exclusive, just an exclusive in general. He also mentioned that this next game coming up from Arkane, which was the last kind of, you know, the one more thing of the conference, right? Mentioned that one is also going to be Xbox exclusive. And now I'm starting to see that, you know, this is definitely going to be a thing going forward, which is probably another reason why I was like, it's time to get a Series X at this point, guys. I need the, you know, I need both consoles to be able to play all these things that I want to play. Especially if Elder Scrolls 6 is going to be a exclusive on Xbox. This is where, you know, this is where I was like, yeah, this type of thing is going to be something going forward. And I'll have to go back on, like, go back to my predictions previously and stuff in terms of the, you know, exclusives and whatnot, because I really wanted to believe that Xbox was about the, like, hey, we don't like exclusives. We think they're dumb. Everyone should just play everything, right? But I think now we are kind of seeing the cards being shown that, like, while people on the Xbox side may, in terms of, like, you know, creating the portfolio and whatnot for these consoles, they may be wanting that type of thing, but I think they know business-wise they can't do that actual action, which is disappointing in the sense of, like, hey, I get the business side of it, but maybe just don't even say it if that's the case, right? If you say these things and then renege on it later and just kind of, you know, act like it wasn't said and you just want exclusives and all that kind of stuff, you're going to get called out on these things probably at some point. And I don't know when it's going to happen, but I assume it's going to happen eventually and people may take notice of these things. So just kind of, you know, fair warning, I think, if these things are going to start popping up in, you know, sites and whatnot or forums and everything there, just hopefully we'll kind of see going into the future what type of things happen with these different exclusives for Bethesda. But if it's kind of looking like they are right now, I could understand if the, you know, future decisions are going to be like, hey, all Bethesda games are Xbox exclusive, and that's just what's going on, you know. Now, moving on to the last one more thing of the conference, we had a game called Redfall announced. This is going to be coming exclusively to the Xbox console family, coming in summer of next year. And this is Arkane's new game. You could see the kind of, you know, Dishonored kind of vibes inside here. Cool looking art style and everything, and the characters kind of like funny like banter back and forth with each other, I think was really nice. But it's got like crazy vampires kind of going on in here. You guys are like vampire hunters, or maybe not even vampire hunters. Maybe you're just hunters and these vampires are your next prey, right? But the game looks pretty cool. They had some sweet powers in there, and some of the, you know, bad guys they showed were very interesting looking and pretty creepy. Some kind of multi-armed vampire at the end of the trailer and everything, and I was like, wow. Did not expect to, you know, be as down for this game as I think I am right now, but I'm very excited for next year if this is coming then. And that's what we had for the Xbox showcase there. I know this is kind of a different episode than we've normally done in terms of kind of these solo gaming updates, as well as just kind of, you know, things more recently. I think next week, I believe Michael is going to be recording next week. He may be kind of still doing his, like he mentioned, you know, kind of review slash, you know, I think he said retrograde, but I don't know if that's what he meant, or retrospective. I don't know if that's what he meant, but going over a game which I think he's probably going to be going over Hollow Knight. That may not be the case when next week comes around, but that's kind of the vibe I got off of when he was talking about a game that he really wanted to talk about and everything. So be ready for that stuff there. And then when we come back, we'll probably be talking about all the conferences together. Obviously, you got a pretty deep dive into the Xbox side of things here, but, you know, I hadn't had time to go and see the other ones all the time yet, so I'll be watching some of those. I may end up even recording some more things later on in the week, but no promises because I got lots of work going on as well. So until next time, I hope you all are staying safe and healthy. I hope you all are, you know, washing your hands all the time. Don't start catching colds, everybody. Now that the masks are starting to become, you know, less used in public by people, and people are all getting like vaccinated and stuff, just keep on washing those hands, because it's been, you know, you've been probably not getting too sick for a little while, and maybe you're going to start feeling a little bit more sick if you start, you know, dropping your guard around germs and everything, because germs don't care if you are, you know, vaccinated for something else, right? They just gonna get you. I'm just hoping to stay, you know, healthy throughout the rest of this year. If a mask will help me do that, then I'm going to do it, but, won't be always happy about it, but it's, you know, it's been nice not being like, you know, having the cold or flus and things like that. And I think I like that kind of thing. Didn't mean to go on a weird, like, little thing at the end there, but I hope everyone is having a good week. I hope you guys are enjoying some of these E3 conferences if you're getting to kind of watch those as well. And if not, go check some out. I think there's some pretty cool things in there. We do, I think, have a few more days of things going on. I think Tuesday will be the last area of E3 announcement things going on. I think Nintendo is on that day. And, you know, going forward, we're going to have some different things from Summer Games Fest as well. And a lot of cool, exciting announcements, I think, still in the works. And we'll kind of see what's going on there. Until then, though, go play some cool video games. Tell them your best friend told you to. And I will see everybody again in a couple weeks. Until then, peace out and cheers, everybody.